This episode is brought to you by Home Team Inspection Service. When you partner with Home Team, you're getting more than a home inspection. You're delivering the home team experience. With a team approach, fast turnarounds, and package options that include home inspection warranties, Home Team helps real estate pros stand out. Plus, many locations now offer pay at close, giving your clients flexibility when they need it most. Schedule your next inspection with confidence at HomeTeam.com.
We're genuine about a common goal, and that's growth across the board, whether it be business, whether it be personal. The thing that brought us together was we all had a common goal to grow in life. And I can honestly say that since I met these guys, and I'm not just talking about business, but just life in general, it's like I've attached myself to a rocket ship. And we all on this rocket ship, and we've been able to scale and grow, in my opinion, a much faster pace than if we would have been doing this alone.
Good morning. It's morning for me. Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you're located. You are tuned in to the Color of Money podcast. Thank you for joining us on today's special episode. I'm excited about this. As you may know, one of our last episodes was live at Keller Williams Family Reunion, and we had the Color of Money podcast live. What you don't know is that later that day, we had an entire KW Black Real Estate Network mastermind and event, and we had a panel. And on that panel, we had four very powerful Black men who talked about their businesses. We called it collaboration over competition. And it was one of the most well-received, talked about events of the entire Keller Williams Family Reunion. And so we're going to run it back. We're going to do it here on today's podcast. And this podcast is going to be called, the session today is going to be called Collaboration Over Competition. And so we've got four brothers who are on a mission to win, grow big businesses and live amazing lives, not just as business owners, but also as fathers, as husbands, as friends, as leaders in our community. I could go on and on down the list. And so collaboration really is the bloodline for any big business. And it's a key to an abundance of resources. I know you all share resources. So we're going to on this panel today, there's four of them, FYI, for those of you who are listening and can't see us. There's four of them on the panel, and we will debunk the myth that in real estate, it has to just be about competition. But we are actually going to talk about the value of collaboration. So with me today, I have, first of all, I'm Julia Lachey. I forgot to introduce myself. I was so excited to introduce these guys, but I'm Julia Lachey, your host. I'm not joined by any of my other co-hosts. Not to knock them, but what we need them for when we got these guys. So it's just me and these four guys.
You look better. What did you say,
Charles?
You look better anyway, so I appreciate it.
So I have four gentlemen with you, and I'm going to have them introduce themselves. But I'll just tell you, we've got Richard Spears, who's located in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Trey Adams, located in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Rod Williams in Atlanta, Georgia. And Charles Holloway in Newport News, Virginia. So gentlemen, without further ado, and I'm just going to start in the order that I see you all in. I'm going to start with Rich. Rich, if you would please introduce yourself, tell us who you are, where you are, tell us a little bit about the team and the business that you're currently running.
Yeah. So my name is Richard Spears. I'm located right between Baton Rouge and New Orleans, Louisiana. I have a team of eight agents and three admin staff, and we service the greater Baton Rouge and greater New Orleans area.
All right. Tell us a little bit more about your team.
Yeah, of course. So started off a solo agent, met these gentlemen, and over the years grew out a team. It started out with just me and an admin, and then it grew into me and an admin and a showing assistant. Then that grew into me, my wife, and that same showing assistant becoming a buyer's agent. And from there, my wife grew into a director of operations, and we brought on a transaction coordinator and another full-time admin. And within the past year, we've grown to eight agents.
All right. Do you mind sharing your volume?
Yeah, of course. So last year we impacted 107 families, and that was for $22 million in volume. This year we're on track to pretty much surpass that. This year alone with closing pending, we've impacted 67 families.
Nice. Wonderful. Welcome, Rich. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Rod, you're next on my screen, Rod. Who are you? What do you do?
First of all, thanks for having me, Julia. So my name is Rod Williams. I am in the Atlanta market. Our Keller Williams office is about 30 to 45 minutes south of the downtown Atlanta area. I am a Georgia native. I've lived here my entire life. We have a team, eight, I think. Yeah, I think we're at eight. We just onboarded one agent and two more this week. So we're at eight or nine, somewhere around there. So we have a total of nine team members. Two of those are operations. My wife, Dawana, she's our director of operations. She leads the administrative staff. So we have two on the operational side, and then the rest are all real estate agents. Although they do specialize in buyers, they are also working listings as well. Last year, our production was 124 units and $35 million in volume.
Awesome. Wonderful, Rod. Thank you. Brother Holloway.
Big brother.
Julia, thanks for having me up here. I first like to give an honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, now I got that out of the way. I'm Charles Holloway, Miss Holloway Experience, located in not Newport, Virginia, but Newport News, Virginia, serving
Newport
the
Newport News. Okay, my bad.
Yeah. Hey, Charles will actually correct you on that for real.
Every time.
They take offense to that for real, I see.
That's on the map, him and Iverson, so I just want to make sure they get their credit. So it's Newport News, Virginia. It's myself as the rainmaker. I got a team of six. Myself as the rainmaker. My wife is the specialty. Got a director of operations, two buyers agents, and we got one other AE that handle other miscellaneous transaction coordinator. Last year, we did about $21 million as a team, 111 transactions, and we having fun. We're rocking and rolling, you know?
I love it. Thank you so much for being here. Trey Adams
here, the Signature Group out of Minneapolis. When we talk, like you said earlier in that panel, back in Vegas, we're not going to talk about last year. So we're going to talk about us as a whole since 2019. Like Richard said, we impacted over 700 families, and that's over $200 million in volume. So you know, we're here to create a difference, we create an impact, and give back.
Yeah, I love it, gentlemen. Thank you. Thank you so much for all being here. And the reason we're all here together today is because of your unique relationship, the relationship that you all have created as brothers. You know, so tell us, how did you all first meet and come together as this group of brothers who inspire and motivate each other?
Yeah.
I'll leave that to Chris.
I started off. So I knew Rod from social media, from Instagram, and I was just amazed at what he was doing at the time. He was an individual agent, and I was watching him receive all of these awards. And I remember one year he impacted over 70 families. And at the time, I think the most families I had ever helped was like 36 in one year. And I just couldn't fathom that at the time. I remember meeting Charles separately at my first ever family reunion. And I hadn't even closed but two deals. But, man, I just took a chance and went to family reunion to see what I can learn. And I met Charles through a good friend, Joy Russell, at lunch. And that's what I come to learn about these family reunions, that the real nuggets are at lunches and dinners. But I met Charles at lunch. And I remember finding Trey on social media as well and just thinking to myself, man, this guy reminds me of myself. He's swaggy. He always fly. Yeah, he's selling a lot of houses. I was like, man, somebody I want to know. So I just connected with all of these guys individually. And then the following year, family reunion happened to be in my city in New Orleans. And at the time, I'm reading this book, Think and Grow Rich, which is an amazing book. I'm pretty sure a lot of people have read that book by Napoleon Hill. And I just was implementing as much stuff from that book as I could. And in this one chapter around masterminding, I was just trying to figure out how can I create a group that I can mastermind with. And it just wasn't clicking here at home. And with family reunion on the horizon, I used to be a party promoter. I made some calls to some good friends. At the time, one of the hottest promoters in New Orleans and restaurateurs at this time, he had just opened up his new restaurant, Morrow's. And I really just wanted to impress these guys because Morrow's don't even do reservations. So I was like, okay, I'm going to get reservations at a restaurant that don't do reservations. And I'm I want to impress these guys. And I did. I made some phone calls and we made it happen. And that's when everybody met each other. And at the end of that dinner, man, I was just transparent with everybody to let them know, like, man, I'm looking to start a group of to mastermind with, so you know I can be of value to others, but also we can be of value to each other, so we can grow. And out of that, it happened. But I got to give more credit to Rod because he took it a step further. And Rod, he's great about that. A couple of months later, man, we were going through all of this mastermind, and he put a call in. I was like, hey, y'all, I'm thinking about renting this house. All y'all got to do is fly out. I'm going to rent the Airbnb. Y'all just got to fly out. We're going to lock in. And, man, we're going to really dive deep in mastermind. And he was like, okay. So everybody started booking flights. And, man, we really locked in, Rod. I mean, you can dive deep into it, Rod.
Yeah, so you know, it's funny. I see memes on social media, and they say, you know, when you want to go out of town on vacation with your friends, you know, it's 20 people that want to go, and then when it's time to submit the money, it's 5 people, and then when it's time to get to the airport, it's only you by yourself and maybe one other person. So that's when I instantly knew this group of guys were different. You know what I'm saying? Like, I told them, like, hey, guys, I rented this Airbnb, man. Let's lock in. Let's mastermind and build in person. Because the group chats were so powerful. It was like we couldn't get enough. I mean, every day, like, I mean, Julie, I got chills thinking about it. I've never been a part of something so powerful and being amongst brothers who are just, like, openly sharing, helping each other, like, just you know, uplifting and just doing it at such a high level to where it was energetic and you just wanted to feel it in person. So I took it upon myself to rent this big Airbnb. I mean, I don't even think we used all the rooms. You know what I'm saying? It was more rooms than we needed, but I wanted my brothers to be comfortable. So I rented this Airbnb, man. And I like, yo, if y'all want to come do this in person, man, I got the cost of the Airbnb. Don't worry about anything. Just fly in and we'll lock in. And they did just that, man. I think I picked Charles up from the airport. Rich and Trey, I think, got there about an hour or two later. And Julie, I tell you, no lie, from the moment we got in the Airbnb, I mean, I think it was around maybe 1 or 2 in the afternoon. And I have the picture to this day. We all just gathered around this big island in the kitchen. We all pulled out those MacBooks. Yeah, we all pulled out those MacBooks. And when I tell you, Julie, we locked in from 1 o'clock to maybe 10, 11 p.m. before anyone looked up and like, oh, man, we haven't even eaten dinner yet. I mean, no stomach was growling, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how powerful it was. And I know we was on to something special.
Well, Charles said, speak for yourself. Yes,
Charles had snacks in his bag, I think. Hey,
Rod going to take us to a vegan spot. This guy, I'm like, you know, he's like, no, we got to go to this vegan spot. I'm saying, man, we starving. You talking about vegan food at this time?
It actually was good, though.
It was good.
It was.
But I got out to vegan. Charles, do you want to add to how y'all met? Because I'm interested in you telling us about how it initially started, but I'd also want to get into like how that's impacted your businesses, because it sounds like you were all individual businesses other than just one of you. You were all just individual real estate
businesses, except for Charles,
that have now grown into actual teams. And so you're talking about sitting around this table with these MacBooks. How did that one meeting really turn into a collaboration where you've all grown big businesses from each other's, you know, information and things that you shared starting at that table?
I mean, I knew that it was like, all right, I should take this opportunity. I get to go down to the A. I ain't got to pay for lodging. I can write. All right, I'm cool. So I was like, all right. You know what, Rod? Yo, I'm going to bring my brother just in case. You know what I'm saying? Thinking we'll have a good time. Right? I ain't willing to miss the moment. It wasn't until we got around that table. I lie to you not, Julia. You know, I said, yeah, everybody's doing good. I had a team at the time, rocking and rolling. And Rod, out of nowhere, we were just talking. He said, yo, bro, how did it feel to hit that first million? I'm like, yo, who is this dude to know my business better than my business? And I was head down, and we was just working. And, you know, we pull up the KW reports, and sure enough, it was a million. And I was like, oh, this is really a mastermind. Like, this guy has really strategically studied each and every one of us, so we got to come here of value and some substance. And when he asked me that, I didn't take it in a spirit of offense or anything like that. It was just more jokingly like, whoa, this is the real deal. And I think he brought that level of vigor, of seriousness, that everything from that, the rest of that day was like, all right, Charles, hey, I want to have a team. I want to aspire to be a big business. I want to be a millionaire real estate agent. What's the plug? What do we do? And it was from that moment, everybody literally on my cell phone, this is exactly what I do. This is exactly what you download.
Yeah.
to step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It was no high overview. Nope, it was meat and potatoes. Like, this is exactly what I do. And everybody was transparent because I'm like, yo, I'm getting it. But, I mean, Rich and Trey, they know that the social media apps, like, it ain't nobody's business. So I'm sitting there being a student and being a sponge, and it was just, I said, well, we ain't going to eat. We might as well come and learn.
I will add this and say this, man, to give Rod his flowers. His intentionality is contagious. I will say that. Yeah, Rod is a very intentional person, and that's contagious. It's like when Jim Rohn says that you're going to be the average sum of the five people that you spend the most time around. That's true, because I actually spend more time talking to these guys than I do my own personal friends here at home. And so the characteristics that I get from them is contagious. And that's one of the ones that's contagious from Rod, his intentionality. Like, it's contagious. Like Trey, he's going to take action. He's not going to overthink it. He's going to take action. That's contagious. And the same thing with Charles. Like, man, that dude got wisdom beyond our years. So, like, with him, I'm just grateful to be around him, because it's so much stuff that he's already done and been through that we get to take advantage of, because we don't have to make those mistakes as he's already did it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm noticing something, Rich, while you're talking, and it's not something we talked about previously when we had this panel live, but when you first introduced yourself and you said, hey, I saw Trey was looking like this and I had to know him. I looked at Charles' number. That's a guy I want to meet. I mean, what you are, and even now, as you continue to talk highly of them and speak of them, I don't know that that's something that other people innately do or have. Oftentimes, if you see another, particularly when it's somebody that looks like you, I don't know why we're like that in the Black community, but you see somebody else that looks like you, and all of a sudden, you're automatically like, oh, look at that guy. Who does he think he is? You know, where does that come from, that you even have the mindset of not just the fact that you were confident enough to admire somebody else, but you not only just admire them, you say, I admire them and I want to know them, you know? And so where does that mindset even come from? Because I think we probably need to start there when we talk about collaboration, of just actually appreciating other people's greatness, right?
Yeah. I think it's a two-part thing. One, I think I've always had an abundant mindset. So there's that. There's no scarcity mindset. I truly believe that whatever's for me is for me. So I never had the mindset to think that I have to hoard something to myself. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to grow, because I feel like what's for me is for me. And I think the second thing is just that's something my dad instilled in me since a kid, and it's something I instilled in my boys. I'm confident in myself. So being that I'm highly confident in myself, I'm not insecure about anybody else, if that makes sense, or no one else's success or lack thereof, or anything like that. That doesn't bother me, because I feel like I have a supreme confidence in myself. So even if someone is doing something way more significant than I am, one of the things that I believe is everybody has some type of God-given ability and talent, right? That they have a genius level of talent that they can bring to the table. So, for example, like when I met these guys, every single one of them were doing way more production and doing way more things than me. But that didn't intimidate me at one point, because I also knew that I have value to bring to the table as well. And I share that with new agents when I'm teaching classes. Like, everybody has some kind of God-given talent. Like, everybody has something. And so no matter where you're at in life, you have something that you can bring to the table. So it's just about making sure that you're intentional about whatever you have of value, you bring that to the table as well. So you're not just sitting at the table and you're not bringing anything of value. You're just sucking all of the life out of the room. You bring what you have and you start where you're at and you grow together. So I think that's what it is. It's just not being intimidated by being confident in yourself and just having an abundant mindset.
I want to add to that, because two things, one of which, a lot of times people's ego get involved and insecurities get involved. And that would probably just stop you right there in your tracks. And when I met Charles, he was up there speaking on family reunion. I'm like, this guy is powerful. Like Rich said, he's like ahead of our time. I'm like, wow, this man, I want to actually meet him. So I met him when he got off stage. I took a picture with him and everything. And I'm like, I gotta meet him. I took his number down, because like, I could tell you before, I probably wouldn't have done that. Even when it comes to like rappers and celebrities that I've met, I'm like, you know, I ain't going to meet them, probably because my ego was involved. And so I let that go because, oh, you know what? I can learn something from Charles. And like with Rod and Rich, you know what I'm saying? We all, it's just like a genuine feeling. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no egos involved. We all here to, you know what I'm saying? We got one common goal. One with our business and also our families.
Mm-hmm. So on that note, you mentioned your families. And Rich, I picked up what you said. You said I attribute some of this to my father, right? And so my family has gotten very involved in listening to this podcast. And my brother, because I saw the picture that y'all posted on, he was like, okay, now tell me about these guys. Who are all these guys? And I'm telling you about telling them about you. And what I noticed was, I said, I think they all have dads. Like, you know, they all actually have father. And so that was something in me. I said, now that I think about it, most of the really successful men that I normally talk to attribute a lot of their learnings to their fathers, which is something in the Black community that isn't necessarily as prominent as we would like, right? There, when we talk about households, and even when we talk about the wealth gap, which is what this podcast is about, we're not really comparing family wealth. It's not apples to oranges, because when they say a white household's wealth and a Black household's wealth, the difference is the structure of the household in a white family. In the Black community, 60 to sometimes 80% of those households are led by single women. So one of the things that makes this conversation different is the fact that I thought that me and my brother were talking about how powerful that was. That I'm like, I they all got dads. They all have dads. Furthermore, what this conversation is about as well is that you all are not just businessmen. You're not just friends. You are actually family men. You do actually lead a family. You are the head of your Black household. And, you know, and so I think that's a really important story to tell. So tell us about your families. Tell us about your families and how you collaborate even on a personal level and not just on the business level. Well, Rich, why don't you start? Go ahead, Charles. Okay. Charles was ready. I said, tell us about your family. And Charles was ready. Go ahead, Charles.
Being the seasoned expert, having the most kids out of everybody, I'm a father. I've been a father for 6. I will say this about the fatherhood thing. My father is my hero. And to know my father is to love him. My giving attributes came from him. My leadership and my poise came from him. But one of the things that was most significant was that his father walked out on him when he was young. And my dad made a promise. He said, no matter what happens, I'm not going to leave you guys. I'll always be in your life and be active. And every day we're on a bed of roses. But dad was there. He worked. My work ethic came from him. And I tell people all the time, I will fail at a lot of things in life. But the number one thing that I will never fail at is being a father to my children. I despise men that don't take care of their children. And one of the things that I appreciate about every man on this call is they are some of the most stand-up fathers that I've ever met. I learned the parable, and we always learn. I learned something last week from Rich, and Rich said, my kids don't ask me for anything. They ask me, how can I earn X, Y, and Z? And man, as soon as I came back from family reunion, I instituted that baby Carson asked me for something. I said, man, you ain't asking me. No. He said, well, where did you get that from? I said, yeah, I picked that up. He said, where you get that? I said, Uncle Rich. And I said this too, lastly, because real estate takes so much out of you, time and attention, because you're really trying to devote yourself, all the greats, to being phenomenal, right?
Home Team Inspection Service is changing the way agents and clients experience home inspections. Their team-based model, streamlined scheduling, and bundled packages, including home inspection warranties, make the process smoother from contract to closing. And with Pay at Close available in many locations, you can give your buyers more peace of mind with less upfront cost. Choose the team that works with yours. Visit HomeTeam.com to learn more.
There's sacrifices on other ends. And those sacrifices are byproduct of those sacrifices on my children, my wife, these people who really, really love me. Like if something happened, they're going to take care of me. And having this group of men where my wife knows Rod's wife, she knows she's met Richard's wife, right? We know, and we got word when Trey got engaged, and they have literally met all of their significant others, and they have actually traveled with us to certain places. So on some fronts where it feels as though they are not involved with our real estate businesses, this is something, because of collaboration, where they can feel a part. And I know when my wife went down and we was down in Rich City and she met Rich's wife, oh, he be out all night? Yeah, Rich, dude, don't worry. then all of a sudden it segue. Oh, well, you know, I got a makeup line. And then Rich Wife supported my wife with some of her makeup line. So it really made the whole thing full circle. You know what I'm saying? So now I don't have to be guilty when I'm at work. And they know that, like, we're hitching our wagon to something great. So, and I just learned that from my father. He's still married to my wife, and he made my mom inclusive in the household. So it's things of that nature, that how you're brought up and certain principles that just never leave you. And they actually become your business DNA. So
now, wait, your father is still married to his wife, not your wife.
Yeah.
Edit that out. You, no, sure. But I think how you're raised, it becomes your business DNA. And yeah, as competitive as we are to our real estate businesses, it's because we were committed to being family men, fathers, uphold citizens in our community. And it just so happened that gets to put a footprint on how we do business.
Yeah. My story is very similar to Charles. My grandfather, I actually didn't meet him until I was 16 because he actually disowned my dad. And so because he disowned my dad made it a point that, you know, when he became a father, he was going to make sure that he could be the best father that he could be. And so I'm the youngest of three sisters, and like my middle sister wasn't even his child, but like he met my mom when my sister was like maybe like 6 or 7 months old, and he pretty much told my mom, you know, tell her dad, I got this, I'm her dad now. And that's how we were raised, and same thing, my dad had an incredible work ethic. And like, so my story is super similar to Charles. That's why I got my work ethic. That's where I get this whole, I'm not giving anything, you're going to earn it, because that's how my dad treated me. I started working when I was like 8 or 9 years old with him. And so all of the things that I wanted, I had to work, and he would pay me. And that's how I bought the things I wanted. So I learned from an early age, if I want something, I'm going to go out and get it for myself. I never really did ask my parents for much because I had that work ethic in me. But to make a long story short, I say this, the highlight of my life to date, outside of watching my kids being birthed and just coming into the world, was being able to take off from work. I didn't work for maybe 4 months. I stepped away completely, and I moved in with my dad, and I took care of him before he passed away. And that whole saying that twice a child, once a man, I watched that with my own eyes. I watched my dad turn back into a child, and it was one of the hardest but most rewarding things that I've ever gone through in my life. And another thing is, I'm grateful for real estate, because if it wasn't for having a real estate business and having a team, I couldn't have done that. I was able to literally just step away for 4 months and not work, because I couldn't work. The only thing I could think about was my dad, and stay with him and take care of him. And to date, like, I have tears thinking about it. That's the highlight of my life, is being able to be there for my hero. Because just like Charles, my dad was my hero. He was the reason why I went so hard at real estate, because I just wanted to prove him wrong so bad, because he couldn't see this. Yeah, we were both conductors at Union Pacific Railroad, and it wasn't that he didn't believe in me. He just couldn't see something for me that he didn't see in himself, and that's it. And so right before he passed away, I was having a conversation with my team, just letting them know all of the things I needed to get done for the day before I checked out and checked back in with him. And that was the first time he finally just admitted it, that I was right about making that decision. And he was just like, I hear you in that business, man. He said, I'm proud of you. And to this day, like, I hear those words so often in my mind, you know, when I'm having rough days or things going on, I think about him saying that, and that just gives me the energy, the boost that I need to get things done, because I knew that he was proud of me and what I did.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. That's powerful. My story is slightly different. I grew up with my stepdad. You know, me and my dad have a great relationship as well. But in the house, I grew up with my stepdad. And I think him and my mom's been married since I was maybe 5 years old. So they've been married probably, I don't want to mess it up, I'm sure she'll listen, 35 to 37 years, somewhere in that range, right? But, you know, my mom had me at 15 years old, and I lived with my grandmother for the first 8 years of my life. And just growing up in, you know, in the project city housing and just, you know, low income and having to figure it out and navigate it. And then, you know, when I turned 8 years old, my mom said, you know, I'm old enough and I'm stable, you know, you come live with us. And, you know, it was her and my stepdad, and that's who raised us, and they're still together to this day. And I did learn so much from, you know, both of them, my mom and my stepdad, as well as my dad. You know, a lot of the things that I've discovered about myself in my adult years, I attribute to, you know, my biological, you know, my dad. You know, things like just, you know, he's very meticulous. He's very, you know, he's a high D, OCD, likes everything in order. You know, the way he leads, he's kind of quiet. You know, some may consider him standoffish, but, you know, he's just he's not a man of many words. But when he does speak, you want to listen. You know what I'm saying? You know, something powerful is coming. He's not just talking just to be talking. And I think that's one of the things I picked up from him. And I appreciate, you know, because, you know, I always tell people, man, like, you know, we don't have a whole lot of time, so I don't want to waste it on just not saying anything. You know what I'm saying? When I speak, I want people to listen, and I want it to have impact. And, you know, again, you know, I think it's super important that we have the fatherly figures in our lives to help lead these Black families. You know, I'm very passionate about it. So we have a family in my immediate family. My wife, she's my partner in the real estate business, Duana. And then I have a son who's 21 years old. And then I started all the way over. I have a daughter that's 3 years old. So during COVID, my son graduated high school 1 week. And then the next week, I'm in the delivery room. So you talk about two ends, two different ends of the spectrum, right? Like, I literally went from at the graduation talking to my son, like, hey, son, you protecting yourself? You got some gas money? You good? You need anything? Drive safe. Don't drink and drive. And then next week, I'm in the delivery room like, oh, my goodness, Google Gaga. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, for me, that's allowed me an opportunity to, like, just kind of have a second shot at parenting. Cause, you know, when my son grew up, he grew up in the house with his mom. So I was kind of like a weekend dad, right? So I would get him every weekend. And, you know, it was hard to discipline him because the only time I seen him was on the weekend. We lived like 45 minutes away. So the only time I seen him was on the weekend, and it was hard for me to, like, spend those only 2 days that I have him, discipline him. So, you know, I kind of put the discipline stuff in the back seat and just, like, have fun, right? But, you know, I've been in his life the entire time. He's a junior in college now. He's studying business and real estate. He's already passed the class exam, and he's looking to, you know, have a career in real estate as well. So I'm excited about it, man. I love him so much, and I just see so much in him that he's going to really take this business to the next level. And then my daughter, you know, she's 3 years old, turning 30. You know, she's just grown beyond her years already. So, yeah, that's pretty much the makeup of our family.
Yeah. He's a good kid too, man. I had a long conversation with him last time I was out there. Not just him, but his friends around him too. They all some good kids.
Yeah. Thank you.
But I appreciate y'all sharing about your families and sharing about your fathers. And I asked that question because this podcast is about building wealth in the Black community. And I think the one conversation that we aren't having enough, we talk a lot about the money in our real estate business, is about the importance of family and the importance of having a male structure father figurehead in the home, at home. We don't talk about that. People don't want to talk about whatever. You know, people, I get there's a lot of different varieties of what a family structure might look like. But there is a significant impact that you make in your houses, in your homes, and also in your community. And I love how, as a brotherhood, you all share that with each other and encourage each other to not just do that. So I want to ask, on that note, you get together, you mastermind about business, you encourage each other about fatherhood, about being husbands and all of those things. How often are you having these conversations? How often are you meeting? How often are you doing the masterminds? What does that look like?
Daily.
We talk every day. We talk every day.
Yeah. So we talk every day. And as of even more recently in the last month since family reunion, we made it a point to even have scheduled time for Zoom, you know, so we can see each other and really lock in on a high level and have bigger impact and do some bigger things. So, I mean, just basic communication via group chat. It's daily. And then, you know, we have a Zoom meeting every week. We see each other in person 2 to 3 times out of the year. I recall, I think it was last year or the year before, we all flew out to Austin together, just us four. We flew out to Austin together for Gary Keller's Leadership Academy. So, you know, we're constantly, you know, in each other's presence.
I say this too, right? And while we're serious about business, the when you really lead from contribution and there's a connection, it metamorphed into something personal. And men are very barbaric in nature, and we're not as the most vulnerable people, right? But to sit up here with these guys, and I know I can be vulnerable, man, guess what happened? You ain't going to believe this. What? Guess what my opportunity did? And I know Rich got tired, Ryan got tired, but then I got tired. So at least I had people to go through. But I say that to say this. I remember when we had met, and I started to lose a little weight. Right? We came down. And Trey was like, man, I need to get on it. And then Trey went back, and I'm just amazed. He locked in. He passed me. I ain't going to get my weight out here. You know what I'm saying? It's like asking a woman her age. He passed me, but he was so intentional and so serious that he literally said, what's your address? Mel, each and every one of us a scale. So I have no excuse not to be down. I am down. But Trey took that thing. It was like a spark when we met, and me and him talked about it. And then he just ran with it. So while we do meet about business, that was just an incubator. This thing has truly been something different. And now, like this year, Rod said, y'all, get this app. Y'all got it like an hour. Let me know when you do it. Screenshot that you got this app, because we got to get serious about where our money goes and what we're spending. So while we connected on business, the personal stuff that we've connected about to make us better men and to be vulnerable with each other. And I just, through this podcast and this conversation, I just encourage more men to be vulnerable to other men, because you're not on an island. We all go through the same thing, and get around some people who really want to collaborate with you, the person. Not because we both or we all do real estate, but because I have a genuine interest in you, Charles, the person getting better, you, Rod, getting better, you, getting better, you, Trey, getting better. And that way, like, I know when life events happen, man, Trey surprised me this year one time. It was something special to me. And I had no idea he was popping up. And he popped up, man. And he'll tell you, man, I was like a groupie in the candy store. Like, yeah. when Rod had his 40th birthday and all three of us got together, it's almost like the band getting back together. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Five Heartbeats, the Temptations, ain't none of them got on this group right here. Can't sing a lick, but we can bring a show.
That's the culture of collaboration, Charles.
Yeah.
That is the culture of collaboration. And so on that note, let me shift gears a little bit. And because we're in real estate, and in a real estate business, technically we compete, right? That's when you're trying to get a listing. You're trying to get, so we call it competition. In fact, I heard someone ask me one time, how long have you, so do you still compete? They didn't even call it, do I still sell real estate? I was just like, what? Do I still compete? But people see it as that. They see other real estate professionals as competition. You kind of mentioned about your mindset and not coming from a place of scarcity, why you're so comfortable sharing this with each other. But what if everybody did this? What if everybody was like, you know, let's just collaborate. And instead of seeing each other as competition, but how do we do that? Because there is a balance, right? There is an intricate, you really are competing. You do want to get the business. You do want to get the clients. What's the balance that you compete, and what's the balance where you collaborate?
I think it's about finding your tribe. And I think that's one of the things that happened with us. It was genuine. And it's not to say that we all alike, because we not, but we all were genuine about a common goal, and that's growth. And across the board, whether it be business, whether it be personal, the thing that brought us together was we all had a common goal to grow in life. And I can honestly say that since I met these guys, and I'm not just talking about business, but just life in general, it's like I've attached myself to a rocket ship, and we all on this rocket ship, and we've been able to scale and grow, in my opinion, a much faster pace than if we would have been doing this alone. Yeah, I was going to say, even in our communities, one of the things that I picked up from Rod is to make sure that even the agents in my own communities, because I've always thought that way. I always felt like the agents in my MLS are still not my competition, because I need them to accept my offers. So I want to become friends with as many of them as I can. And so I piggybacked off of Rod this year. Well, going into last year, I started opening up all of our appreciation events and just events in general to other agents. Like, hey, y'all come pull up too. Come fellowship, because I feel like y'all are not my clients, but I need y'all too, because like I say, when I send my offers over, I need them to get accepted, and I want to learn from y'all too. And so just seeing it that way, and just knowing that, man, there's houses sell every day, and we just need a few of them to make a great living for our families. Yeah. So that's just my thought process on it.
Our thing is, so we came together and decided to run with the collaboration culture. And in our mission, we stated that our mission is to champion a collaborative culture where entrepreneurs unite their strengths and ideas together, achieving a common goal to create impactful outcomes benefiting society as a whole. And that's something that we truly believe in when it comes to collaborating and how we can change the culture and the demographics of things.
Absolutely. I think Charles summed it up, man, probably the best I've ever heard. And if I'm not mistaken, for those of you listening that were not at Family Reunion, you had to be there to witness what happened, man. I mean, Charles made a statement that was so powerful. A guy jumps up out of the crowd, pulls $100 out of his pocket, and throws it on the stage.
He came and gave offering. I ain't never seen nobody pay offering.
I've never seen this. Like, I've never seen this at Family Reunion, at any conference, in a black room at that. And he didn't find the cheapest, but he didn't find a dollar, a five, a 10, 20. He pulled the highest bill out of his pocket and threw it on the stage. And you can just tell that man was really impacted by what Charles said. And Charles, you can correct me, but Charles said, man, we already have enough that we're fighting against, right? We're fighting against the industry. We're fighting against the world and the community and politics. We're fighting against all of these things. The last thing we need to do is fight against each other. And Charles, I'm paraphrasing, but you can take it in and reiterate that.
No, you said it right on, brother. I mean, that's the truth, man. Life be life and for all of us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I just get real dismayed when we really understand, and I just know the impact of these three brothers, and even you, Julia, by meeting Trey, I get to meet you. Your association, his association becomes my association. And like Rich said, it's just been a rocket ship. And I can just, my imagination serves me well that if we all had that in some microcosm in the black and brown community, what it really could do, if we understand the individual talents that we have, but if we couple that in a collaboration effort with other people, man, the change we want to see will come faster than lamp speed. And we just got to be the catalyst, for lack of better words, to make that happen. Because I can't, and I tell my wife all the time, I can't fight and claw every day to make a living. In real estate, if you don't work, you don't eat. 100% commission. So in order for us to have what we have and enjoy the life we have, I can't be arguing with you and arguing with them, because there come a point where you ain't got nothing left. And I think when you look around, I see a lot of people that look like me who just truly don't have anything left because they spent so much time fighting. And when you're not fighting, you're in a scarcity mindset where you're trying to protect. The analogy goes like, if you keep your hand open and freely give, right? Some people think you lose, but you don't lose. When you have your hand open freely to give, it allows the opportunity for more to come in. And I think we have to get in the mindset, I want to freely give so more can come in. But that's where your replenishment and your nourishment come to begin to continue to fight the battle. And these guys, man, has truly poured into me, planted seeds. And now what we're starting to see in our business and our personal lives, I'm starting to see the harvest. And I just really wish that would happen for more people that look like me. That'd change this wealth gap. That'd change the disparity in housing, right? It'd change. And I'm not just talking about black and brown, but other ethnicities, minorities. Like, when do we say enough is enough? Just by the sheer color of your skin, I love you. I'm not in competition with you. I'm going to lead with love. And let's see where that takes us.
I'm going to stop it right there. I think that was the perfect ending. And that's why the man had came and brought up offering, because friends, the doors of the church are open. If you would like, this is why I started by calling him Brother Charles. I knew he was going to bring a sermon. And I just want to say, I really want to thank y'all for being here. And on behalf of every woman in this country, on behalf of every real estate agent in this country, on behalf of the Black community as a whole, I want to say thank you for your leadership, for your fatherhood, for your husbandship. I made that up. I don't know if that's a word. For leading in the real estate community and for being an example for so many people to follow, for being an inspiration for so many people to follow. You all are literally the epitome of what we need. That's what the Black community needs. We need more of this, more collaboration over competition. Charles, you ended it perfectly. I want to thank each and every single one of you for being here today. I'm going to let you say one last word. If you had one last thing to say, what would be the one thing you would want to leave this listening audience with about collaboration over competition?
I want to just reiterate what Trey said at Family Reunion, man. Sometimes I think we overcomplicate it and overthink things. Take action. Take one action. Text a brother. Reach out. DM. Rich DM me on Instagram. He took action. He flew into my city. He was there for another reason. He took action and hit me up and said, let's go to lunch. That's how we built that relationship. It starts with somebody taking one action. So I just want to leave y'all with Trey's word from Family Reunion. Just take action and reach out to a brother, man, to build that collaboration culture.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Anything else, gentlemen?
I was just saying, everybody has something God-given in them. So don't be intimidated to reach out to these people. Like, don't be intimidated to reach out, because you have something in yourself as well. Even if you think this person may be intimidated or got a lot going on, you have something in you that you can bring a value to. And just make sure that when you are reaching out to people and you're meeting people, figure out how you can be of value to that person as well. But don't be afraid to reach out to someone, because it may change your life.
Awesome. Trey, Pastor Charles?
I would just say, like Rod said, we're going to think big and act now. That's my motto this year. Instead of just always putting things off, we're just going to act on it now. You know what I'm saying? We don't, like I told you before, time is our most valuable thing that we have against us. So we just got to make sure we act on it now.
I love that. Pastor Charles?
I give a little bit of a different spin. Julia, I appreciate you. Because collaboration should and charity should start at home. And I got to say, this is our second time doing it with you, and you've been a blessing to us. And you embody everything that a woman should be for a man, in the sense of praising him, still coming with poise. And because his light shines, it doesn't dim mine, but I serve as the ultimate compliment. And I think one of the most endangered species right now is the woman, especially the Black woman. And so when you collaborate, to all the people listening, you know, if you have a significant other, baby mama, anybody in your life, the first level of collaboration is, hey, this situation we got ourselves in, how do we make the most of it? Esteem her and he, and esteem him. And I think that will get us where we need to be. So I just want to tell you, represent all women.
Thank you.
I appreciate you. I see you. And I love that you and I are in collaboration by connection with Trey, because I am an ambassador. I'm a fan.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you all, gentlemen. Thank you for being on the Color of Money podcast. Tune in next week for more great transformative conversations to help you build wealth in the Black community. Take care, everybody.
Follow the Color of Money podcast today and get notified when new episodes are released weekly.
Be part of this transformative listening experience.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.